Now, once then you keep all this in mind, once you've learned to purify your body, to purify your skin, to purify your clothes, to purify your place of prayer, then you're ready to actually enter the real deal, which is the salah. So all of this is actually a preparation for the salah. And I can't begin to emphasize enough that all these things form the foundation for the salah. All of this tahara forms a foundation for the salah. If you make the tahara strong, and you make yourself munawwar through the, you make yourself one with nur through the tahara, then your salah is going to be, it's going to take you to new levels of iman, because you're building it on a very, very firm foundation. But if your foundations in tahara are not in line, then your salah is going to be deficient to that extent. So we should be very careful about tahara. This has been almost, what, our eighth hour or seventh hour in tahara, and people just overlook this and they just go straight to salah. And so I thought this time, you know, I could teach you wudu in 5 minutes and teach you ghusl in another five and we would have been done, you know. But we need to you need to know the details, because this actually is one of the reasons why we don't experience our salah. We're not careful about our tahara. Tahara is the foundation upon which salah is built. Every book of fiqh, almost every book of fiqh, always starts with tahara. They always start with tahara, they don't start with salah. Yet on the Day of Judgment, Allah will start with salah. He will ask us first about our salah. And so there's often a contention that people raise, why do books of fiqh start with tahara? Why do books of hadith start with tahara when Allah is going to start with salah? You should have started with salah. And the answer is that without tahara there is no salah. You need tahara. And Prophet ﷺ said, al-tahara tu shatru iman. Tahara is half of iman. It's a huge portion of iman. So tahara is essential for our iman, for our salah, and for bringing angels into a place, etc. It just goes on and on and on. So we should try to be as careful as we can about it, learn about it, think about it, reflect on it, and then go and ask questions. We do it for everything else in the world. If there's a tax seminar, everybody hears it, and then they go home and they start talking to their wife, and then they say, oh, wait a minute, I didn't ask that question. How can I save myself an extra 5% on this tax or that tax? And then they go and then they call the professional and they find out. So in the same way, you should reflect on these points, discuss them, think about them, read other books about them, and then go and ask your local scholars as well. And that's how these things will become permanent. You cannot memorize books of lists. These are 10 things I have to do here. These are 15 things I have to do here. It has to be practical in your life. It has to be practically implemented in your life. And inshallah, then you'll begin to taste the benefits. It's a great blessing of Allah that we can bow our heads before Him. And we talked in detail about Salah one night. It's a huge blessing. It's a huge blessing that the Creator, which is so above and beyond anything in this universe, allows His creation to interact with Him in any way when we're so distinct from Him. We have nothing in common with the Creator. He's the Creator. We have zero in common with the Creator. There is nothing that we have in common. Everything of Allah is supreme, and everything of us is much, much, much below it. There is no characteristic that we share with Him. He's just so far and above beyond anything in creation. Yet He allows us 5 times a day to bow our heads in His court. Great blessing. But you need tahara before you can do it. Take advantage of this time. Many of you have taken notes, memorized what you've learned, inculcate it, repeat it to one another, and inshallah you'll begin to see the benefits with the effect in your salah. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.